Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number one.
All right, a lot of news coming out, and the big story in Houston sports right now is an MLB source tells Mark Berman of Fox 26, initial diagnosis for the Astros closer, Roberto Osuna, is that he needs to undergo season-ending Tommy John surgery. However, Osuna is getting a second opinion, but if the initial diagnosis is accurate, of course, that is a huge loss for the Astros. And we already heard Clint, got to be about 2 weeks ago now, that Justin Verlander, there was a report from Chandler Rome and the Chronicle that he would be out for the season at that point, since Dusty Baker and Verlander, the Astros, have disputed that, said they're going to wait 2 weeks to look at him. But we heard the same potential injury that now they're saying Roberto Osuna has had a diagnosis for. This is another hit to the rotation. They now, due to injury, only have Brian Presley, one player that isn't a rookie, and he had some arm discomfort that held him out this year as well. This is – the hits keep coming, man, to their staff.
This is a big blow, show, because it's one more – that you felt for sure about. Like, you knew two things coming into this year. You had one of the best closers in the game in Osuna, and you had last year's Cy Young winner, one of the best starting pitchers in the game in Justin Verlander. When you talk about production, regardless whether you love or hate those guys, when you talk about production and get down to the raw numbers, those guys were arguably the best at their position or at the role that they play for this baseball team. And when it's all said and done, you've lost both of them. Could you replace one of them by being aggressive at the trade deadline? Sure. Can you replace both of them? That would be a long shot,
especially
show.
So to the level of hurts, the player, man, that they are.
Well, yeah. I mean, at this point in time, it's with the Astros. I mean, you're not going to be the favorite, and you're not going to go out there and replace those caliber players and all of a sudden jump up to the favorite to win the World Series again. I mean, you're clearly going to have to scratch and claw to bring things together and figure things out. James Click's got
some
big-time decisions to make. Either way it goes, show, I think that James Click has to get aggressive in the month of August. He's got to get aggressive to get either a closer in here or get an additional starter in here. The lineup has to continue to hit the swing the bat the way that they swung the bat. I know there's some guys that are cold, but from a production standpoint, those guys are still swinging the bat really, really well. And as a whole, they're swinging it well. And so the guys that have done great things this organization in the past, they're going to have to do more. But James Click is the new name that in the month of August, he needs to put a Click stamp on the Astros and make a move.
Not
for
a
him.
Click stamp.
Click stamp.
I just will say this. I see a lot. I'm sorry. I'm trying to recover. I thought I had a really good point, but I don't know if I can beat a Click stamp.
You can't top the old Click stamp, baby.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, when stuff like this wants to place blame somewhere,
sure.
And I'm seeing Uncle Dusty Baker get a lot of blame placed his way because he threw him two innings last week against the Dodgers, and then he pitched again. Look, folks, he pitched six. He threw 16 pitches in two innings. All right, he is a closer, a pitcher in baseball. He can throw 16 pitches on Wednesday, have a complete day off on Thursday, have a complete day off on Friday, and then come back and pitch. That's not overworking him. Now, I do remember him coming in a little overweight and maybe his body not being in the place that it needed to be. And if he's a little overweight, it would make me wonder if his arm was in the right place. I'm skeptical of that, but I don't think that Dusty Baker did him a disservice. He threw 16 pitches and then had 2 days off and pitched.
I would surely hesitate to place blame on Dusty Baker for these types of injuries. I mean, now you can look at the offseason and what these guys were doing in the offseason and how long the layoff was between last year's World Series and the restart, which was, what was it, a week ago? 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
I mean, so the extra long layoff, which allowed them to do their own thing away from the team and be responsible for taking care of their body. You know, maybe that has a little something to do with guys reporting. And some of them may have been overweight, like Osuna is believed to have been overweight and out of shape. But when you look at some of them just may have not been taking care of their bodies the way that they should have. They could have came in great shape. Weight was fine. Nutrition was fine. You just weren't doing the pitcher-specific things that you should have been doing and put some kind of strain on the arm that wasn't there typically. A longer layoff, a 3 month longer layoff than the body's used to, it can throw things into a real fit real quick.
Big 3-3, number two.
All right, number two, and the Astros have to pick up the pieces tonight, and they've got a big series. They're 5-4, a half game back of the A's in the AL West. But they take on the Arizona Diamondbacks, and tonight the Diamondbacks' ace Madison Bumgarner is going, and the possibles for this series are out. Christian Javier, see if he can build off his great performance last week. He is pitching tonight, then followed by Lance McCullers Jr. and then Zach Greinke.
I liked your voice
on Thursday. To me, I'm excited to see what Javier does tonight, but I look at that. For what the Astros need, they got to win two out of three of these. Those, you get McCullers and Grinkies in a series, for what they need to do, they got to win at least two of those games.
Well, I ain't going to lie to you, man. When I saw this, I don't know if it was when you put it in the rundown earlier or if it was a tweet that I saw earlier in the day. When I saw this, the three-game series with these guys taking the mound to start those three games, I got excited. I mean, like you said, you get your top two in McCullers and Greinke, two of the three, and you get Christian Javier, who, again, I know it's early. I know it was a small sample size.
It was sensational.
But damn, it was good, man. It was really good. And it wasn't Framber Valdez's first outing where he got hit hard. They were just hitting it at people, and they eventually got to him. Christian Javier was pretty dominant for a young cat.
With no help from his offense against that Dodger offense.
Right. And I know it was a small flash in the pan, but I'm excited about him tonight, and then on the back end of that, McCullers and Greinke for game two and game three in this series. I know there's a lot of problems in Houston right now. I know a lot of those problems are with the pitching staff, top to bottom. I get that. But this group right here, this week's starters, got me excited, man.
No, I mean, and those last two for Wednesday and Thursday, they feel like, as you say, problems, they feel like they need to be problem solvers.
No doubt.
McCullers and Greinke need to be days where Dusty can.
Yeah.
Let me. All right. I feel like at least I know what I'm going to get, because everywhere else he may not know. If Christian Javier builds on his performance tonight and goes something like 5-6 innings and keeps them in the game, 2 or 3 runs, Houston, you got something.
Well, here's what you need tonight.
Where the hell is this going?
Christian Javier. Now, click stamp. He's going to make the move. He's got to make the move.
That's the greatest thing on this show.
Christian Javier is going to give you 6. They're going to find a way to get it to Blake Taylor, and Blake Taylor's going to shut this thing out. Close it up.
He's going to close up shop. We should see. I'd like to see Ryan Pressly do something as well, but we shall see. I'll take that. Javier, to Presley.
I don't all give these a guys damn that freaky stuff. I don't give a damn who's in the middle, how they do it, how they get there. Just kind of, get there
kind
and,
of a big deal.
And give the ball to Taylor and let him close that thing.
They've been having a problem getting to that middle.
That's all right. They'll get it figured out.
Stubbs, whoever the hell it is, or Scrubs.
Bunch of rookies. They'll get it figured out, baby.
Big 3-3. Number 3.
All right, this is coming out of the state of Texas. TCU coach Gary Patterson is in some water, some little warm water here. I would say hot. I think it's warm. Gary Patterson apologized Tuesday for repeating a racial slur when instructing a player to stop using the word in team meetings, which led to a group of players skipping practice on Monday. Horned Frogs linebacker Dylan Jordan accused Patterson on Twitter of using a slur during an incident on Sunday in practice. Patterson said he met with his seniors in leadership council last night, and they're moving forward as a team. I'm just surprised, man, that Gary Patterson would put himself in that position to say that, right? I don't think that, and I heard Wade Smith, who was on this morning on Payne and Pendergast, in for Seth, saying he knew some guys who played under Gary Patterson, and he says he doesn't think, you know, he's a racist or anything. I would agree with that too, but you got to understand, you can't even repeat those words in today's time, knowing that's going to get out.
It's damn sure if you're a white head coach of a Power Five organization, you can't repeat those words to a damn player. That's for damn sure. I mean, there's no doubt.
No matter
about
how
it.
You're trying to use it.
Yeah, I mean it's foolish if anybody uses it, but for a head coach of an organization, it's the CEO of a $1 billion organization. I mean, it's silly to even shape your mouth to use that term. Now, it is interesting. I heard Wade this morning too talking about the story behind it possibly being one of those where Gary Patterson said, "You're using the N-word in the meetings," and the guy said, "Well, what are you talking about? What word are you talking about?" And Gary Patterson actually repeated the word at that point in time, and that's kind of how he got into hot water. A little bit of a BS job by the player of doing that, but when it's all said and done, Gary Patterson can't even shape his mouth to say that, regardless of what the conversation is or isn't.
Yeah, he did. I don't think Gary's going to get in any trouble, like losing his job or anything, but you know recruiting, and you know they're going to use this against
big
Gary
time.
Patterson in recruiting in some way, some shape, or form. All right, coming up, dude, if you don't believe us, we believe Anthony Weaver is taking steps to make people believe he is the right guy to be the coordinator. If you don't believe us, listen to his players. Whitney Mercilus had a lot to say about Anthony Weaver and how he can improve this defense. We'll get into that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Oh, boy. We got to hear from Whitney Mercilus earlier today. We got to hear from Randall Cobb earlier today. And Whitney said some things, man. Whitney said some things that pushes it even more that people believe Anthony Weaver, he's the guy for the job. He's the answer for the guy for the job for the team that was 28th in total defense at everything that he's doing. And just listen to what Whitney says in terms of what Weaver's doing with the players and the scheme. And just when you hear this, it makes you believe, my God, Weaver's the right dude.
Weaver, couldn't be more happy to have Weaver, you know, as our DC and all that. And he's done a great job. You know, he's taking everybody's talents into account as far as putting in place for this defense, and also bringing up, some really cool, interesting concepts as well, too. And some new formations and stuff like that for us to go out there and go have.
That's Anthony Weaver, by the way, who we'll hear from here tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 610 as he and Tim Kelly speak to the media. But in that clip, man, he tells you, dude, Clint, we got our players here that Anthony Weaver's looked to put in the best position and not necessarily putting and fitting his players into whatever scheme he wants to work.
Yeah, and the thing for me, Show, is I think Romeo Crennel is one of the best to ever do it at the defensive coordinator position. So I'm not going to sit here and act like that Romeo Crennel wasn't doing what he thought was the best for the Houston Texans on the defensive side of the football. But moving forward with what Anthony Weaver is going to do, it's refreshing to hear that the guy that you hired from within, that you plugged in, is taking the reins of the defense and he's making adjustments and doing things differently to the point when you hear from the players, they're not only excited about the guy being the defensive coordinator, they're excited about the changes. They're excited about the way that they're going to be used. They're excited about the scheme being an advantage. I just think that is so telling of what Anthony Weaver is doing on a daily basis that it excites the hell out of me, because when you talk about scheme being an advantage on either side of the football, it's an absolute must if you're going to compete with the best of the best in this game. When you go into, I always talk about Romeo Crennel on the Texans defense versus Kansas City Chiefs last year. They were hamstrung. There were injuries across the board. They were missing two of their top three safeties. I mean, when that is the case, it's damn near impossible to get creative. It's damn near impossible to match up with Buffalo, much less Kansas City. And so when you think about what the Texans are really capable of doing, they're better than what they put on the field versus the Kansas City Chiefs last year if you just eliminate the injuries. And then you add on top of that, Anthony Weaver is going to be able to be a little bit more. I'm going to roll the dice and say he's going to be not a little bit more, quite a bit more exotic on the defensive side of football than Romeo Crennel.
He at least says he is.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. If you don't look here, if he doesn't find a way to put some action behind those words, you got players coming out. He said it a couple of different times that he's addressed the media. I think there's just such room for improvement for the Houston Texans on the defensive side of the football based on what, I don't want to get off in the weeds with the stats, and because stats they are what they are for different reasons. I mean, they're bad on third down for different reasons. They're bad in the red zone for different reasons. That's a whole different conversation. But when you just say, can they get better? The answer is absolutely hell yes. They can get healthy and the scheme can be a huge advantage. Those two things, just those two things into account, they will be significantly better than the defense you saw at the end of the season last year.
Clint Sterner and the Show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Defensive coordinator for the Texans, Anthony Weaver, keeps making people believe that this dude is the answer. And if you listen to what Whitney was just talking about, by putting players in the position where they are able to use their talents the best, to me, it's real simple, right? That sounds real simple when you're listening. Oh, yeah. Wow, that's coaching. What? Yeah. I got players. I'm going to make them do their best. I'm going to do what they do best. But when you have schemes and systems, that does not always mean that's what people do. Because sometimes people or coaches will say, this is my system. This is my scheme. And this is what I want to do and have everybody. And everybody's working and doing their part. The system will work. I love coaches that say, all right, the best thing that Jacob Martin does is rush the passer. So what I'm going to do is to try to put him in positions where he does the best thing that he does. And I love that aspect of, I look at my players, this is what my players can do. Now let me make my scheme fit around what they can do. I love that, and it sounds like that is what Anthony Weaver is moving toward.
Yeah, look, when you look at this thing, it's people want to talk a lot about the DJ Reader being gone, and you know he's DJ Reader's a really good interior defensive lineman. He's a really good he's really good at clogging up the middle. He's really good at giving the quarterback nowhere to push up in the pocket and letting the outside, the pass rush, eat. But when it's all said and done, that's not the only way to skin a cat. That's not the only way to get the job done. So instead of going out there and finding another, or attempting to find another DJ Reader, The fact that he's going with a different approach across the board on the defensive line, I think that speaks volumes for what to expect from him, and I think it speaks volumes for the fact that his scheme is a little bit different than Romeo Crennel's.
No, I mean you see it in any sport. That's why I was never upset with what the Rockets did. They said, "Well, Russ is not Chris Paul. We've got to change this around."
Yep.
For what we have, and it looks like that's what Anthony Weaver is trying to do. And J.J. Watt, he spoke over the weekend as well, and there were two players, Charles Omenihue and Ross Blacklock, that J.J. talked about that fit right in this category of what we're speaking about with Anthony Weaver. Here's J.J. Watt over the weekend.
I've seen the videos of Charles and what he's been doing. I know Ross has been working hard. I'm really looking forward to seeing these guys and seeing how they are in shape and then also seeing what they can do on the field. For a guy like Charles going from year one to year two, that's a big transition, and it's a chance to make a big jump. And for a guy like Ross, it's a tough year to come in as a rookie, not having a chance to do OTAs, learn the playbook and things like that. But if he can prove he can pick it up quickly and get out there and help us, that would be huge.
These are two guys that fit the bill of what we're talking about. Like you just brought up DJ Reader. Right? Ross Blacklock has a different skill set than DJ Reader. It'd be silly to play Ross Blacklock the same way you would play DJ Reader. And hopefully we get to see guys, I brought up Jacob Martin earlier, but guys like Charles Omenihue and see their best skill set be used and them do what they do best.
Well, I just think that the to me, when you talk about Charles Omenihue and Ross Blacklock, you're talking about guys that are going to get inside in pass rushing situations. Hell, I think Ross Blacklock, I mean, I think he's a guy, I know he's a rookie, but damn it, he's a first-round talent. I mean, this is a guy you got to plug and play, in my opinion. But he's a guy that can get the same things that DJ Reader, what he got accomplished, which was pressure from the inside. He can do that in a different way. DJ Reader was more of a earth mover. He was more of a hold ground, not give the quarterback anywhere to push up to, where to me, when you look at Ross Blacklock, he's a guy that's a little bit more of a cut and slice guy. He's a little bit more of a gap shooting guy, but he can generate that pressure from inside. And so it's ultimately could get the same things accomplished. It fits the more aggressive style of play. And what I really like about it is in today's game show, I just believe that you've got to have bodies that can move, that can roll, that can get in and around the quarterback and get him on the ground, not just flushing. You know, I mean, you got to have guys that are in his face quickly. You got to have guys that create pressure quickly. And I just think that Blacklock and Omenihue or J.J. Watt, if you choose to move him inside when Omenihue's in the game, either of those guys just give you a speed element inside that DJ Reader didn't give you.
That's right. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley here with you to 6 on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. And before we met, today's a 27-year anniversary.
Of what?
It's a 27-year anniversary of one of the greatest moments, I'd say, in baseball. This is one of the greatest moments in baseball. A Houston icon 27 years ago. Nolan Ryan kicked Robin Ventura's ass on the mound.
Here's Ventura, RBI single in the first. Watch out.
Look at this. Robin took exception to the pitch and went after Nolan Ryan.
He delayed for a second. There they go.
Well, Rodriguez comes up, grabs Robin from behind. Now he turns Nolan around and gets him in a spot. And here's where you get going right there when the two guys come up and grab you. Now three got him.
Well, you can see that Nolan was hitting Robin right on the top of his head, so he probably hurt his hand a little bit in that thing, and he did get one good lick in on an uppercut.
They're probably going to allow Nolan Ryan to stay in the game, and they're going to throw Robin out.
Good God almighty.
You know, I watched that video earlier.
He's never lived that down, by the way.
He shouldn't. You should never charge the mound on one of the toughest old cats, old school cats in the game.
Be a knucklehead.
That's right. Talk to him, Nolan. You should never charge. He shouldn't be allowed to ever live that down ever. And here's the crazy thing: is that could have been one of the dumbest things in all of sports if Nolan Ryan would have broke his hand. I never realized.
Well, he was doing those closed fist punches.
I've seen that a million times, and I've never paid close enough attention to see where he was actually hitting. Three of the four punches, he finally landed a nice uppercut, but the three previous ones were bare knuckles, right hand, Nolan's right hand on top of Robin Ventura's head. I'm surprised he didn't break a hand.
Sometimes people just make you. Sometimes people press your buttons and you just forget.
Yeah,
I almost had to beat up a 16-year-old kid that I worked with. You know, I used to work with at-risk youth.
Don't do that.
That kid walked up to
me. Hold on,
Joe. I'd lose my partner. I don't do that.
I'm not going to do it anymore. He walked up to me and spit in my lunch.
Oh, in your lunch?
Yeah, man. I was eating lunch. He just walked up and spit in it. Almost whooped that kid's ass. I stopped myself. All right, one of the most powerful men in Houston. Clint, I ain't going to lie, man. He needs to have a conversation with my mama because I know exactly what she would tell him. Son, just shut up. We'll tell you who that is next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Clint, I am pleading, absolutely pleading, with one of the most powerful men in Houston sports to just stop talking. Stop talking, and that is Astros owner Jim Crane. He volunteered it himself to bring up the Astros cheating scandal.
What'd he do?
He volunteered it himself.
Good to see you. I'm rubbing off on you.
To bring up the Astros cheating scandal. And it's why? Who told him that he had to go talk to Bob Nightingale of USA Today? He went to speak with Bob Nightingale of USA Today, and he brought up the sign stealing again. And I don't understand it. Some of the quotes he brought up, and he looks worse than some other things, but I just don't think it should have been done to begin with. My wife's in PR, has been in PR for a long time. I know she would go against all of this. No reason. All right, he comes up and says this over the weekend with Bob Nightingale of USA Today, a couple of excerpts from the passage here. People are aggravated that the players did get suspended, Crane said. But I didn't have anything to do with it. That was the commissioner. Little shot Rob, I'm paraphrasing there. Manfred's call. Listen, it's always going to be whatever you want to call it. A black mark, an asterisk. It happened. It's not good for anybody. It's not good for the game. We broke the rules. We got penalized. We're punished. There's no doubt about it. It weighs on us every single day.
I need you to shut the hell up.
Stop. We apologized, he went on to say. But no matter what happened, it wasn't going to be enough. People wanted me out of baseball. They wanted our players suspended. They wanted everything. Yes! So why are you still talking about it? You remember what you said about Alex Cora? You said, stop. Just stop talking about it. Why? Why is he bringing this back up? No one's begging for Jim Crane to speak.
That's a complex question. It doesn't bother me. Him speaking up doesn't bother me.
No,
it doesn't. It doesn't bother me. I mean, I think that there's several factors here, right? First and foremost, they were completely unprepared with the original press conference, the initial press conference after. Or I guess it was they didn't do anything immediately. They waited until they reported to spring training. And then completely mishandled that particular press conference, that meeting with the press, which was the first since the investigation and the fallout of the investigation. And so all eyes were on them. They were 100% unprepared. Jim Crane was 100% unprepared. They apparently had hired a crisis management team, which I hope they quickly fired before Bregman got back in the clubhouse. That was a complete mismanagement of that situation from the word go. And so that's the first problem, is they came across as being tone deaf, insincere. You know, they weren't genuine about the apology. It was just a complete disaster. And within the first week of the baseball season, one of the Astros several of the Astros get thrown at by Joe Kelly. He gets disciplined, and so now they're just stoking the fire. Now they're just throwing gas on the fire of the fact the Astros didn't get disciplined, so it gets brought up one more time. And I typically agree with what you're talking about, Show. There, you can't win in those situations.
You can't, only losing.
However, I do believe that they failed so miserably the first time that.
So you think they should have come out? You think you're all right with him coming out saying something?
Yeah, I'm okay with somebody in the organization making the attempt. And I think it has to be Jim Crane because everybody else is playing a damn baseball game every single day. So they don't have time to address it themselves. And so I'm okay with the effort being put forth given all of the circumstances. Because there's no doubt about it that he was unprepared. Somehow, I don't know how the hell that happens, but he was unprepared. And selecting Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman to talk to the media was such a poor decision. Altuve appears to me, when I hear Altuve talk, he appears to be intimidated by the media because of the language barrier, because he doesn't speak clearly enough. And it's almost like those moments that it seems like he's intimidated. If he's just talking about baseball, like he's real quick and he's uncomfortable, it appears. Well, okay, let's pick him and put him up there. That's a good idea. How about Bregman? He's as cold as anybody in the game when he's speaking. He's robotic. There's no sincerity to what he says. It's all robotic and all mechanics and technique and stats. And, you know, it's just it was such a poor decision. And so I do think there was room for improvement with further action being taken by the Astros.
But see, as we're talking here, Jim Crane, stop talking about the sign stealing situation.
Now, whether he did a good job or not.
But you bring that back up. Now we're talking about the breakdown again. Like, just stop. Just don't bring it up. People are going to talk about it enough. People are going to talk about it enough. You know what he's pulling? He's pulling a Tillman Fertitta. Like, Tillman keeps personally bringing up the Daryl Morey China situation himself. He just keeps thinking, no one else talks about it. Nobody's itching it. He starts talking about it himself, right? He talks about it to the president with him. They're going to talk about it enough for you, baby. You ain't got to, no one told you to go talk. You know what he needs to do? He needs to go talk to my mom, but he needs to talk to my daughter. My daughter, Princess Show. He needs to talk with her about her favorite song from Frozen. Because this is what, you got that title, give me some of that. This is what Jim Crane needs to do. He needs to just let it go, Clint. Just let it go, man. This is a beautiful, man. You can learn so much from the movie Frozen. I've seen it 79 times.
That's disturbing.
You got a little girl gonna watch it. I've seen this in Moana 185 times. Just let it go. You ain't gotta keep speaking about this. Nobody, they're gonna talk about it. It's not like anybody was hunting down Jim Crane. Jim Crane.
Come on, man!
Jim Crane, we need you. We need you to speak about this sign stealing again. Nobody is doing that. Just chill, man. Right here. Just do this, Jim. Let it go, Jim. Just let the side stealing go. Just play baseball, baby. Just let it go.
This thing wasn't dying, man.
But you don't got to add to it. It may not be dying. You may be right. People are still going to bring it up.
I can't even think straight with this crap in my ear.
It's not, hold on, it's not crap.
Yes, it is. It's like you might as well just scratch the chalkboard with your nails.
I cannot wait till you have little girls.
Well, if I'm sitting on the couch half asleep with my little girl watching this, there's one thing. But damn, we're trying to talk about Jim Crane.
Oh, you'll be wide awake watching this. Wait, you'll have appreciation for this. Watch it. I can't wait till you have a little girl. But I don't understand why he is bringing it up himself. Just like you said about Alex Cora, stop talking about it. Why you got to bring it up? Why you got to bring it up? Just stop talking about it.
Conceal, don't feel, man. Conceal, don't feel.
I don't even know what that means.
I'll be honest with you, I don't either.
Conceal, don't feel. What is that? Conceal your feelings, don't...
It's a part of the song, guys.
Oh.
The song we're listening to right now.
You ain't got no kids. What the hell? How do you know?
Yeah, Tyler just watches it himself.
You sicko. You just threw yourself out in front of the bus. You ain't got no kids.
It's a good movie, man. It's a good movie.
It's a good movie. Get the hell out of here. You got to be kidding me. Yeah, look, I just don't have a problem with Crane addressing the media. It's not going away. They're consistently going to get shots taken at them. They're consistently the same shots of they apologize, they weren't sincere about it. So why not take another shot at it? Now, did Crane do a good job? No. I don't think he did a very good job of it, but I don't have a problem with Crane. He's constantly getting shots taken at him by the entire league. So I don't see it as the same thing as like with Cora. Like Cora was wanting to be a part of something. Like Crane, the Astros are constantly getting shots taken out.
Cora makes more sense. Cora's trying to get himself back in the league. Jim, like you can't. He's never going to win on this. And then he sticks his foot in his mouth and he starts talking. He gets into this thing feeling good, and then he starts talking about the assistant GM they had to fire. And says that Brandon Tabman, whatever his name
Taubman.
Is, Taubman, who did the thing with Osuna in the locker room. Now he's talking about he's a good guy. You just, come on, man. Back up, man. Back up. See, we didn't even have to go in there if you didn't agree to do this with Bob Nightingale. I just hope that's the last time he speaks about it. I hope he doesn't speak about it again, because I just don't think he wins. He does not win in any way. No, he's not going to change anybody's mind, not one person's mind.
Yeah, I wish you've met Jim Crane, like, and sat next to Jim Crane. Like, none of this surprises me.
Jim, this
with
is
Jim
what Jim's
Crane.
Gonna do.
I mean, Jim don't give a rip what nobody thinks about him. I mean, it's he doesn't give a rip in a sense of like how he handled it and whether he handled it the right way the first time or the second time. I mean, it just there's the give a rip factor is gone. Now, do I think he really struggled at the second attempt to quiet the noise around the team again. But he just doesn't give a rip.
No, apparently it doesn't. I just hope somebody gets to him and tell him, all right, that's the last time we're going to speak about this. We're not going to volunteer it ourselves.
I just hope that's the last time we play Frozen on the show.
It won't be.
Damn.
I got a lot of Frozen left in my heart, baby. I got a lot of Frozen. I can't wait till you have kids. Oh, I can't wait for that. Oh, no, I can't wait till y'all have kids. You go, oh, I can't wait to it. I cannot wait. All right, Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. The big story of the day here is Roberto Osuna is likely out for the season, having to have Tommy John surgery, and he's looking to get a second opinion, but all signs are pointing to the fact that he's going to have his second Tommy John surgery. And I think we should be about solutions. And Houston, you should be about solutions. 713-572-4610. You could text in your solutions. Like, where do they go from here? And I said this yesterday, not knowing that Roberto Osuna is going to be out for the year. But I think Blake Taylor should be the closer. I think most people would think, all right, you just move Ryan Pressly to the ninth as the setup guy. I think you keep Pressly as the setup guy. I like the makeup and the mindset from Blake Taylor. I think he's delusional enough to be a closer. I think he has got that want to and is unfazed. As you saw how he came in over the weekend and got them out of a bases loaded jam and then ended the game with the bases loaded. I like his stuff, and I think his stuff is good enough there. I think he is the solution at closer. Now, I don't know who fills his void that he was doing coming in before Pressly or in the eighth or whenever they were using him. But to me, that's the first solution point.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've got an answer for the time being to fill Osuna's shoes in the closer role. Obviously, he's not going to he goes about it a different way, and you don't know what kind of production you're going to get out of Blake Taylor. He's awfully young, but you've got an answer at that particular spot in the pitching staff. I mean, you've got a closer that you can go to that's got a little bit of momentum built at this point, and moving forward, I don't think you're not right now. Anyway, you're going to be hesitant to put him out there. He's a guy that that has proven the moments aren't too big for him. At least the regular season moments aren't too big for him. And so it's a no-brainer to plug him in there, right? I mean, ultimately to replace Osuna, Blake Taylor's the guy to do it.
I think so. I think many people wouldn't say it's a no-brainer.
Well, who else are you going to put out
there?
They're all rookies.
I think most people would say Ryan Pressly. I think most people would say this guy was an all-star last year, and he pitched in the eighth, just move him to the ninth. But I think you have to have a certain mindset to be a closer. Not saying I'm sure that Ryan Pressly doesn't have it, but we know Ryan Pressly excels as a setup guy. So leave him there, and I love the mindset that Blake Taylor has. And he's the guy that we played yesterday that walked up to Dusty Baker before the season. Dusty said he didn't even know him and said, man, I'm going to bring you your first championship. That type of I don't want to call him a psycho, but that type of delusion is what you want from your closer. That's the mindset that you want from your closer. And if you're not going to go make a move, to me, Blake Taylor is the thought. Now you just have to take the next step of how you would fill his void.
Yeah, I mean, right now, what is his void? He's another one of the
you're
young
right.
cats.
I'm not sure what his void is.
I don't know that any of these guys has really found their way. I mean, I think they've got plenty of arms to throw out there. Just figuring out what in the hell it is these guys do best is going to be key. And I think we've seen a small glimpse into Blake Taylor and his that bulldog mentality of taking the mound regardless of the situation. He got out of the bases loaded jam to seal the game the last time the Astros were on the diamond. And so I just think for the time being, it makes sense to put him in Osuna's role and see what happens.
Yeah, from the text line here, 713-572. We've gotten this a couple times, Clint. Okay. Just cancel the season. That's the solution.
That's fair.
I guess you could do that. I don't think they're going to do that, but cancel solution, that's one. I'd like to maybe get solutions that could maybe work on the field.
That'd be nice.
I'd be a fan of that. But you're right. I think many people who are saying, Blake Taylor, how can you be so confident here on the text line with him when you don't know what he can do? He's a rookie. Like, yeah, I think you're going to have to take chances here, though, because you don't have a sample size or a lot of guys.
I didn't realize we needed to preface the conversation with being confident. It's not about being confident in anybody. I mean, the confidence is up on Greinke. It's down from start one on McCullers. Josh James, the confidence is out the window. I mean, Framber Valdez, it's up from the first performance. Christian Javier, it's confidence.
Remember the most confident player yet?
Yeah, for the little the flash in the pan that we've seen, there's confidence. I think Blake Taylor, correct me if I'm wrong, who's done more than Blake Taylor with their opportunities to create some kind of confidence?
He's been out there 9 strikeouts and 7 1/3 innings. He's been fantastic.
Yeah, he's been great. So I'm not
wherever you put him.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I'm real confident that Blake Taylor's going to go out there and he's going to replace Osuna. He's going to be one of the best closers in the game.
But all we got is what we can see.
I'm confident that Blake Taylor is who Dusty Baker ought to throw out there. I'm confident in two things. Blake Taylor should be the guy that they throw out there tonight in the ninth if they got a lead. And secondly, Josh James' ass is not a starter. He needs to be in the pen.
Yeah, he really believes that, folks.
Ain't no doubt.
Good God, man. You really came to my sword and came in hard.
Look, I played with some dudes that could sling it off the mound in high school. You walked the bases loaded, two straight up. Hey, Pod, to go back to third base.
He's done that his first two starts.
He's a center fielder.
He's done it each game his first two starts. All right, get your football fixes. Clint Sterner's football at 4, and he is ready to really lean into one of his true beliefs for the Texans in 2020. That's coming up next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.